Good morning, brethren. As you all know, most of us know, we're going to be in Proverbs again. We're going to continue where we left off there. We're going to do a brief, tiny little overview. I mean, I could actually probably ask you guys at this point to do the overview, right? Chapter 1, one of the main themes is Solomon saying that you can understand a proverb, like in verse 6, and you can understand the interpretation of it in the words of the wise and all of their dark sayings. If something's dark, you can't see it, you can't understand it, or it's too deep for you to understand. Solomon is saying you can understand every bit of your Bible. There's nothing in here we can't understand. Now, we know that we all of us don't have all truth at any one time, and we're all growing. But if we need to know something, if we need to understand something, if you have a challenge in your life, the Lord's not going to hide that truth from you so that you don't stumble, so that you don't fall. And it may take some study. I did a year-long study about love. It's for my Hebrew class to understand how to be that man that would love his wife like Christ so loved his wife, that he, like the church, that he died for it. That seems impossible. How do you do that? I can't love like Christ. And the key out of that whole one-year study was, you're right, you can't. You have to let Christ do it through you. It took a year just to learn that one truth. But I had a question. I wanted to be that kind of husband. And the Lord said, this is God-honoring. Yes, sir, I will tell you how to do that. It's going to take you a while. And you had to study to show yourself approved, but it was there. And Solomon is saying, it doesn't matter how complicated the question is, we as saved people can find the answers in Scripture. But he needs to be the one to give them to us. We need to get in there with him, partner, and sift, and he'll show us those truths. We looked at the fact that anyone that doesn't do this technically is one of the five fools throughout the whole rest of the book. And I gave you a handout on that of all the fools. And, you know, you can have various levels of, let's just call it rebellion or foolishness. You know, you can say, I don't want to listen and walk away. You could actively work against your pastor. You could actively say things about the assembly. You know, it gets levels higher and higher. So you're either looking for, loving, and clinging to truth, or you're not. It's a black and white, because God doesn't like anything lukewarm. The judgment seat is reward or loss. You're either filled with the Spirit or you're not. Okay, there's no such thing as a halfway Christian. You're all in or you're all out. Remember, we spent a lot of time talking about being all in, all in. Then he goes on to say that this wisdom is available anywhere and everywhere. As we look in verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief places, and she cries over and over and over in every possible place that you could be. Wisdom is available. The Lord is going to reveal and show his truth to you. He's going to guide you. And of course, a loving father would do that, right? We don't tell our children, good luck. I mean, some parents do. They're not godly. But a godly parent will do everything in their power to make sure their children are spiritually successful, that they're not damaged or hurt in this world. Our Father is the same way. Then he goes on in chapter 2, and this is that if you will receive my word, then I will do this. If you incline your ear to me, then I will answer. If you cry out to me, I will be there for you. If you lift us, and so on and so on and so forth. He makes multiple promises. But you notice it's all dependent on us taking that first step. And the one thing that I took away from this, it's like he's hovering over us like a mother over a mother chick, over all of her chicks, you know, just waiting to help. Just ask. And that flashes us back to the fact that, and this is something to keep in mind, God is either sovereign or he's not. And sovereign means he's in charge, he's in control of everything, right? He's the great creator. He created everything. All things consist through Christ or sustained by Christ. And that word means he literally holds everything together. You know, our science can't explain why atoms just don't fly apart. They shouldn't work. Well, we know. We don't need to prove it scientifically. We have right in Scripture that he holds every little thing together. The whole reason that your tie is not blowing off your chest, he's holding the atoms together right now. He controls everything. Now, Scripture does say time and chance, right, happen to all men. But who's still in charge of time and chance? He's in charge of everything. So if God is sovereign in your life and sovereign in this world, here's a challenging question. And this is, we're going to get very fine on this. Is there such a thing as free will? Do you have free will if God's really in charge of everything and God's really sovereign and God, everything goes the way God wants it to go? Right? That's a challenging question. I think the better way to say it is to say it the way that God says it. Yes, His will is going to be done, and that's we pray for God's will to be done, but we have to be part of that. You don't have free will, you have responsibility. God wants you to do things His way because He knows what's best for us. It's always going to be the best way. We just have to be obedient and walk with Him, not against Him. And when you do that, then you do have free will, I suppose. You're accepting His will in your life. Okay, so keep those things in mind as we go through this. We're going to come to Him first, and He's right there to answer, right there to answer. And then He goes down, like in verse 12, all of this is to deliver you from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward things. We know that everything God intends for us is what? Good, right? It's all for our good and all for His glory. And that's what these chapters are building to. And then we get into chapter 3, and think of the progression of what he did here. You can know everything you need to know to live a God-honoring, glorified, good life. There's nothing good in this world short of the Lord being in it, right? And we know, pastor always likes to quote, we have an unction that we can know all things. Solomon's saying the same thing. This is the parallel passage in the Old Testament to that verse. And he's saying, I just lost my train of thought because I jumped right up into Revelation. When you do that, and the whole book just explodes in your mind. We're doing the flow. Then we get to chapter 3, and what is he saying? He's saying, forget not my law. Well, that assumes that you've already learned his law, that you've already studied his law, that you've already trying to implement it in your life. So the expectation from chapter 1 is that you realize everything's available and you are without excuse. It is available everywhere at any time. You need to be the one to take the first step to come to me. I'm there waiting to make your life God-honoring and glorifying and blessed. But then once I do all this, the way that you got there was to remember my law, but now there's a chance you're going to forget it. The world's going to pull you away. The flesh is going to pull you away. I may bring trials into your life to help you grow and challenge you, and you could go, I don't want that, and walk away from the Lord, forgetting that the trial again is for your good and for His glory. Right? So he's starting with, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Out of that whole sentence, take a big neon sign and go just like this and point right at your heart. What is he saying? I'm talking to you about protecting your heart, guarding your heart. And the other thing that we discussed is the heart in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes, it's talking about that organ that's right beating in your chest, but that's not the context here. The context is everything which isn't physical. Remember the two parts, the constitution of man, physical and non-physical. And the non-physical are what? Your will or your responsibility, your emotions, your desires, your thoughts, all of that. You need to keep it. You need to guard it because that's the first step towards sin. That's the first step towards walking away from the Lord. If you call your brother Raka, fool, you're in danger of the hellfire. You're a murderer, God says. It's just as good as if you killed him yourself because that's the seed. When that heart attitude comes up, you're saying, you're a fool, you're foolish, you have nothing to contribute to society. You know what? You might as well not even be here. Let me do the world a favor. It starts, and sin starts here. It doesn't start in your hand. It starts in your heart. So you need to keep your heart so that these laws don't get pulled away, so they don't get taken away. That's all the buildup. All this is building up to where we are now. And I'm going to read chapter 3, 1 through 7. We'll actually do a little on 7. We're going to spend all of our time in verse 8 today. So, chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. What a wonderful father. By the way, don't just do it. Here's everything that's going to happen if you do. See how with a parent is setting us up for success? This is great parenting, by the way, on how to raise and train your children. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. There it is. You'll have a good life. No matter what happens, your light will so shine forth that people will only see God in you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We spent a lot of time on this. And lean not on thy own understanding. Don't forget chapter 1. Don't forget chapter 2. None of that was your understanding. It's my understanding that I'm giving you through the Holy Spirit. In all thy ways, all means all, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You shouldn't be taking a single step unless you know, unless you're going like this, right? Look over your shoulder and go, this is where you want me to go, Lord? This is it right here? This is the step? Right there. You're sure? Right there? I'm going right there. Okay. And you go, you take no other step. Because otherwise, you're not walking with the Lord. You're picking your own path. And the end of that's going to be destruction every time. Don't think he's not going to nudge you back into his will, not your perceived will. We have a responsibility to stay on his path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. How many people remember what I put on the board about 6,000 times? It starts with the fear of the Lord, right? And that's the beginning of knowledge, which is getting the context of everything that's going on. You understand everything involved. Once you get that, the Holy Spirit then gives you understanding. He interprets the words that he wrote in Scripture for you. If you go to Scripture and go, this is what I think, stop talking. Nobody cares what you think. Why would we when we have the words of God? Why are you trying to get my foot off the path that God has for me? This isn't what he wants me to understand from Scripture. This is what you want me to understand from Scripture. I'm not interested. I want to hear from God through the Word of God. That's it. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear, knowledge, understanding, interpretation. Then he says, be not wise. What's wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what we're talking about, understanding the interpretation of it, and making a wise change or decision in your life based on all of that, which doesn't involve you and what you think should be done. It involves what the Lord said should be done. And when all of that happens, and we see your life just all these blessings come, you become in awe of the Lord again, and your fear grows again, and it's just a cycle. It's just a cycle. If you're not constantly in that cycle, something's wrong. And as we just discovered, it's not the Lord. He's right there waiting. You should never, let me put it this way. You should always have more fear of the Lord today than you did yesterday. You should always have more knowledge of Scripture today than you did yesterday. You should always have more understanding of the interpretations of Scripture today than you did yesterday. And once again, the fear, just the awe and the reverence. It should just be keep growing and growing and growing and growing. And that's sanctification. You should have more victories in your life as you go on rather than less. Okay? If you're not there, there's a heart check. This is what the Lord is saying. So, let us go to our verse 8. Verse 8 says, we got the flow of all this, right? We see how the whole chapter is building on itself and building on itself and coming to this point. If you do all of this, listen, implement, apply, guard yourself, keep following me, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. This is another if then. If you do chapter 1, if you do chapter 2, you will get this. This is what will happen here. Now, let's go ahead and break this apart just a little bit. Do you remember, and we're not going to even have time for that because we started so late. Well, let's just do a little bit of word study. It shall be. It shall be. This is where the Lord starts. Keep in mind, I'm trying to give you how the Lord is looking at this situation, and he hopes how you see it, how you hear it. So we need to say, Lord, what is your intention? What do you want us to do? If someone gives you an instruction to do, you can listen to the instruction, sure, but sometimes they're asking you to do a little bit more than that, aren't they? Right? Like, I want you to run this play, but you have the idea of how and when that's going to be executed, and you have the option to change the parameters a little bit as you go, but you're still running the play. You get what I'm saying? So what the Lord is saying here when he says, it shall be, all the Hebrew behind that means is, and this is interesting, which is why I focused on the will, this is my will for you. So it isn't the Lord saying, it shall be, and it's done. What the Hebrew is saying, I will make this happen, because this is my will for you, if. Then we have these promises, okay? That's what all of that is saying right there. And notice what it will go into next. If you do this, I want this to happen to you. And if so, it shall be, all of these things shall be a health to thy navel. Now, we have a lot of medical people in our assembly. A good chunk of them aren't in here today. But we're going to take a step back, I promise you, into high school biology, anatomy, physiology. Oh, we're going to do all that today. So if any of you have any additional comments as we're going, raise your hand. Some of us are very intimately been studying this recently over the last 4 years, may have an interesting insight into this. So in the womb, the navel, right here, right? Where does the child, the infant, get all of its oxygen, all of its sustenance? Its entire life depends on this one link to the mother. It's the umbilical cord, right? Everything goes through there. Everything feeds through. It's the source of the child's life. It's the source of the child's nutrients. It's the source of its sustenance, its vitality. It cannot live apart from it. It will die almost immediately, right? This is saying, it shall be health to thy navel. Health to thy navel. What is health? What is our context that God is talking about? What is the interpretation that he's given us so far? Your spiritual health. All the things that you need to be successful, to live in this world, all come from him. But there's a connection. There's a cord between you and the Lord. How about this book? Is this how you learn everything about him and anything about him? Right? This is your lifeline. Everything that you need in life, all the answers are here. It all has to come from here. You have to depend on this, like your very sustenance, which it is, your very survival, is this book. This is your umbilical cord. Everything comes through here. Your oxygen. How long will you live without oxygen, right? How long will you live without food, without liquids? You'd be dead instantly. God's wisdom is what nourishes you completely and gives you every single thing that you need. Nothing else in life does that. Unfortunately, your friends will fail you. Your spouse will fail you. Family will fail you. Church members will fail you. Our pastor will fail us. Why? They're not God. It's just built in. They're going to fail. They're not God. This will never fail. You will never be gasping for air. You will never be looking for your next meal. If anyone's ever gone hungry, you know, right? I don't know where the next meal's coming. You never have to worry about it. God is always there, always ready. Now, you've got that handout that I gave you. Oh, no, August, have you handed them out? You did, right? Thank you, sir. What I gave you here, I gave it to you last time, but I brought out extras because it's been a long time since we got one of these monkeys. The first side is talking about wisdom as health to the navel. And we just talked about everything that God's word is doing for you, and this is a comparison of all of that. We may come back to this at the end. I don't know if we're going to have time, but I want you to see that this is just nothing. This is a couple of verses of how the Lord is talking about this over and over and over again in Scripture. He just keeps pointing you to the answer. So think of it this way. Any question that you have in Scripture, the answer is the same. Right here. And if a friend is not giving you Scripture, if a family member is not giving you Scripture, thank you very much. I'll go find another counselor. Because when it says there's wisdom, right, in the counsel of many elders, it doesn't say the guy who's not giving you Scripture, the lady who's not giving you Scripture. That's not the wisdom we're talking about. When it says wisdom in the Old Testament, it's talking about this kind of wisdom that comes from somebody who has the fear of the Lord, who studied, learned the interpretation, has made changes in their life. Those are the people you want to learn from, right? They've already made the mistake and had to go to the Lord for help, and they learned not what to do, or they did it perfectly the first time because they listened to the Lord the first time. Either one of those guys, he's one of those ladies, they'll be able to help you out because they've been through the trial. They know. This works. All right. I'm going to say skip that because we have very little time. Let's go to marrow of the bones. This is where the Lord got a hold of me. Boy, I couldn't get out of this. I was stuck in this forever in my study. What is the marrow in the bones? And I'll say this again. I said this last time, but you probably forgot. It's been a while. A lot of times we think that people in the Old Testament, trying to be polite, I guess, weren't as smart as us. They didn't have our technology. They didn't have the ability to understand this kind of stuff. Well, why is God talking to somebody way back here about marrow if he didn't have the capability of understanding it? Your life depends on this. Your worship and glorifying of me as God depends on this. Ready? Here comes the instruction. Got it? No. Of course they could understand it. Otherwise, this would be a foolish, it wouldn't be instruction at all. Got to be setting them up for failure. So, they can understand it then. We can understand it now, and God expects us understand it now. So within the bones, we probably back to high school again, right? It's the substance within the bones that does what? It's another life-giving substance. It nourishes the bones. It sustains the bones. It's the reason your skeleton doesn't go and fall over partially. Spiritually, and this is important, it symbolizes deep inner strength and vitality and endurance. It's how you get to the end of the race. So if you show up in church, that's great. But if you're just sitting there and you're not allowing the scripture to change you, if you're not here because your heart wants you to be here, your bones are getting weaker and weaker, and your structure is getting weaker and weaker. And why do you think you're going to fail the next test that comes along? Why are you going to be wailing and crying out to the Lord because you don't know what to do? All right? This is the life strength flowing through the very core of a bone. And it should be the life strength, the spiritual life strength flowing directly through us. Does that make sense? All right. Now, I'm going to read you some verses. John 21:24 says, "His breasts are full of milk and his bones are moistened with marrow." So whatever the spiritual marrow is, it moistens, right? Well, it doesn't literally go in and marrow in the body. It doesn't water your bones. There's not like a little marrow guy with a water sprinkler going, "Here you go, bone number one. Here you go, bone number two." It does that by giving it that life-giving nutrients that we talked about. And it's deep, deep buried in the skeletal system. So what this is saying is just like water revitalizes and sustains, in this case, a parched land. How many people have ever been in a desert? Have you ever been in a desert? No? Okay. Yeah, I should have pointed over there first. Some of you may know I lived in Israel for quite a while. I hiked the country with an 80-pound pack on my back. Water, 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 water was always in the front of your mind, always right in the front of your mind. And if you didn't have it, literally that became your focus. And I'll tell you what, your prayers became very precise and very exacting and very pleading, right? How many times have we had a spiritual vacuum in our lives where we needed that watering? I'm thinking about a gentleman that I just witnessed to out in Aruba. That seed was planted. What does he need? He needs watering. He needs to get into the Word. He needs to make this his core, his belief. It needs to be everything he leans upon and stands upon, his entire structure, his skeletal system. Let me read you Proverbs 3:8 again. The phrase "marrow to thy bones" here, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The blessing of God's wisdom defends, supports your entire spiritual structure. Everything. I suppose an application challenge, if you will. Is everything that you're doing in your life designed to garner God's blessing? Do you constantly seek His blessing, seek His face, or do other things get in the way? Work, neighbors, health, anything else? Is there ever a time where the world shouldn't be seen through this sheen, this veneer? It should be you, God, the world. Okay? Everything needs to go through God this way and go out from you this way. It needs to be the filter that you perceive this entire world in. So when your brother sins against you, right? If God's not there, it's going to come and hit you right here in your heart. You haven't protected it. You haven't guarded it. It got right past your spiritual armor. And what are you going to do? Right? You're going to get angry. You're going to get frustrated rather than going, "Hey, my brother's clearly in the flesh right now. Hey, let me respond in kind. This will go well." Right? Oh, now we're both going to be apologizing to each other. But if God's still there, if your mind is always there, your focus is there, you're guarding your heart, and you look, "Why is my brother responding this way? Oh, well, maybe that fool study that we did in Proverbs. He's acting like this. He's acting like that. He's this kind of fool. Oh, yeah, I remember that chart that I saw. This is how I deal with him in knowledge and understanding." No other, remember, there's no other way to deal. Each fool has a different solution. If you use solution 3 on fool 2, it's not going to work. You see what I'm saying? So this is life. This is all of life. But my structure, my framework is filled. I need to be able to give forth those words of God immediately like that, not just with my mouth, but again with my hands, with my body, with my reaction. Now, I want you to notice here how marrow to thy bones beautifully expresses. Keep in mind, we want to be in God's seat right now. We want to try to think, why is he saying this? Why is he doing this? He is saying that on your innermost being, from the innermost being all the way out, I want to be present. I want to nourish you. I want to revitalize you. So if someone were to do a spiritual autopsy on us, all they would see is God. What's in his heart? God. What's in his liver? God. What's in his bones? God. Through and through. So you've heard me say, we need to get this here. We need to know it bone to bone. Remember you hear me saying that? This is what I'm talking about. It needs to be so deep in us that that's all anybody sees. And we can't act and respond any other way because that's all we are. Now, I know, impossible command, right? And I just said, we're all going to fail. We're all going to fall. We can't do this all the time. But we should have more success rather than less. We're going to look at, if we can, five aspects of this and draw a correlation. Keep in mind, God said that his general revelation will reveal himself to us. Special revelation does, but so does general revelation. He didn't build your body just so you could walk around. Your body teaches you so many things about God, even spiritual gifts with the body psychology, right? Everything that he created has a purpose. And everything he created, think about this. This is so simple when you think about it in these terms, is designed to teach you about him and glorify him. I'm going to make something that doesn't tie into me, that means nothing. Do you think God did that? Of course he didn't. So when you look at anything, everything, how about all these leaves on the ground out here, all these leaves that are just falling everywhere, what is that supposed to teach us? Well, that tree, what has happened to that tree? It's going into this dormant state. It needs to protect itself because the harshness of this world is coming to get it. And not only that, it needs to replenish the earth with more trees. We were told to replenish the earth way back in Genesis, and the Lord never took that command away. That's still our command. So what is it doing? That could be a reminder to me as a husband that I need to protect myself so that I can protect my house, and I need to replenish the earth by having children. I mean, everything in general revelation is designed to teach us about God if you have your spiritual discernment antennas up. So don't look at the world the same way. He gave it to us to teach us about him, to glorify about him. So, very quickly, the marrow. We have red marrow. The factory for red blood cells. Red marrow is packed with something called stem cells. And that's what matures into our healthy, vibrant red blood cells. That's what carries the oxygen. We just said you can't live without oxygen, right? White blood cells do what? They fight off infection. Those are the guys you want right there to take care of everything. And platelets stop bleeding. I mean, I think this is pretty important. We need to carry oxygen. We need to fight infection, right? And we need to be able to stop ourselves from bleeding and losing that to begin with. That's what's in the red marrow. Now, I also think of this like if there was an immune training ground, right? We're all going to boot camp. It's a training ground. Those white blood cells, especially B lymphocytes, by the way, they finish developing in the marrow. So the marrow is where they say, come on now, come on, practice, let's go, finish, get strong, get ready, out you go, go protect. Does that sound like the local church? You come here, you're weak, you're a babe, you get your milk, you get trained, you get the strength of the Word of God, you're feeding meat, you know what? Go ye into all the world. Go out there. And what are we supposed to do? At the very last part of that Great Commission, it says that we're supposed to observe or keep or guard or protect those words. You want to come at me? You ain't taking this Bible down. You ain't to the Church of God is going to prevail against hell. It's going to. You know, everything in our physicality teaches us about this. They're the soldiers. There's that term. I said it. You're the soldiers. We're the soldiers. I'm the soldier. And it's our job, and this is important. When white blood cells go throughout your body, when it's wrong, when it's bad, they'll attack your organs. And that's when you have major problems. But part of the white blood cell's responsibility is to recognize what needs to be attacked, to recognize what needs to be defended against. You can't do that if you don't know the truth. You look at the truth and go, that's not truth. You need to die. and the white blood cells go muncha, 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 and they destroy and obliterate anything, which is, in our case, not truth, right? Now, there's yellow marrow as well, and that's where the energy reserves are. As we age, our red marrow starts to turn yellow. And one, all of my older brethren going, It stores triglyceride-rich fat. And then when we have the need, the body releases that to give us all the extra energy. You ever been in a spiritual crisis? You ever need a little extra oomph? How many people have grabbed the phone and called up brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, right? Well, are you capable of being yellow marrow for somebody? Only if you're already filled yourself. Otherwise, you're useless. Hey, have a great day. I'm going to make dinner. Click, right? You have nothing to offer. And then all the blood vessels that run through the marrow that deliver oxygen, deliver glucose, deliver calcium and phosphate to all the bone cells, they carry waste away. So we know our body's sinful. It's constantly breaking down. If we didn't have a system to remove the waste, we would be dead very quickly. If you ever known anybody whose, you know, liver has had a problem, very quickly they can't think, they become incoherent, you know, their whole body's shutting down, their brain can't. It's amazing. So removing that stuff. And then finally, there's a stem cell reservoir for repair. It differentiates between bones, between cartilage, between fat cells, and it mends each one specifically. Imagine if you had a problem with your electrical and the plumber showed up to help. Nothing's getting fixed, right? So you have to have the right tools for the job. You have to have the right expertise for the job. You have to have the right knowledge, understanding, and wisdom to make the changes that need to be made in your life or to be a blessing to somebody else. All of that from just marrow. And what is God saying? Oh, you do all of these things, and it should be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Everything that you need will be supplied through this. I mean, we can make a chart just on what I just said. Who wouldn't want all these things in their life? Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. My what? My words. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Does that verse take on a new meaning now? You see what he's saying? We normally just read through these and go, yeah, I get it. But do you really? I intellectually understand what these words are saying. That's great. It hasn't gone past your mind. It hasn't hit your heart. Now that you study to show yourself approved, you understand the context of all this, what is he saying? My son, attend to my words. This is Solomon again in chapter 4. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all the flesh. God's words are not just mere advice. They are not empty sayings. They are a source of life and healing for those that embrace them. They are literally your handbook of survival in this world. It's how you get from now to then. It's how you get from today to tomorrow. And the promise extends beyond the spirit to the health for the whole person. The navel, don't forget, was the spirit. He'll take care of your desires, your thoughts, your emotions. But he's now talking about the second part of you, the physicality, your whole soul. So he says, I've got you spiritually, physically, all of you. Now, one of our brothers, can't say any names, always prays that God wants our whole mind, our whole strength, our whole everything. He wants all of us. That takes on a new context too. Why does he want all of that? To do this. So anytime you read those three or four references throughout Scripture where it talks about that, it's great to read it. It's great to say it. But we always say, put feet to your faith. Don't just read it, do it. He wants it for a reason. We acknowledge he wants it, and we go, good. Well, I hope I give it to you, Lord. Is that dwelling with knowledge and understanding of why he wants it? No. Have you ever asked yourself, why does he want it? Well, he wants you to give it over so that he can do this, so that you can then in turn glorify him even more. All right? Deuteronomy 32:47, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land. The commandments throughout Scripture, including here in Deuteronomy, the words need to be seen as a vital, purposeful, decision-making command, initiative. In our verse, in other verses, it tells you, and this makes perfect sense when you think about it, oh, you do this, it will prolong your life. Of course it will. You would expect him to say that after it. You do this, I'm going to prolong your life. Why? Because now you're glorifying me. That's our purpose. Some of the men were talking beforehand in Sunday school, we're doulos, we're slaves, we're bought with a price. We are supposed to be doing this from the minute we're saved until the minute he calls us home. This is our purpose. This is why we're here. It's a living commandment so that we can live. Not for ourselves, but for him. John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh that profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Let me read that again. It is the spirit that quickeneth, or makes alive, the flesh profiteth nothing. Okay? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. I think Solomon knew this. I think he knew it. That's from John. So Jesus here is affirming that his words do what? They carry life-giving power, life-sustaining power. It quickens your inner man. It quickens the spirit. True vitality comes from no other source. You can think you can become all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, all this, blah, 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 blah. Useless, worthless, worthless, worthless. Don't pursue it. You are now off the path. You are now a bad slave. Bad slave. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't think there's not correction coming. Fortunately, our Lord doesn't use a whip. He's a loving father, right? He will come and he will correct us and put us right on the path. But notice what happens here. Just as the marrow produces the blood that gives life to the body, what does the Word of God do? Vitalizes the soul, the whole being, the heart, the mind, the will, the strength, all of it. And just, I mean, if you think about two streams, once they align, how much more powerful are they? When you get in God's will, nothing's going to stop you because nothing's going to stop him. Don't forget, he's sovereign. Get on the sovereign train, right? Get on the sovereign train. We're over already. We've got three more points to cover, and we have got another four pages just on marrow that I need to cover. And you have this chart on the back of this. I have no idea when I'm going to get to preach and teach next. Please keep this in your Bible so I don't have to try to struggle to print more off, because I don't have a printer, and Brother Darrell was very helpful today in helping me getting all this set up. Thank you. Brother somebody, I didn't say a name. Shh, quiet. We barely got to touch this, but here's what we're going to do next time. We're doing no introduction. We're going to start right from here and then pick up. So when you see my name come up for preaching next time, you know what to review. This will be online if you want to go listen to it and prep for it again. But we're going to start right here, literally, and I mean this, in the deep marrow. We're going to start right here and pick up from here. I don't want to steal anyone else's time. So I'll give you a tiny little preview, I suppose. We're going to look at defense and immunity. We're going to look at all the scriptures that talk about that. We're going to look at energy reserves. Remember we talked about the yellow marrow? We're going to look at all the scriptures that talk about that. We are going to, this is, we've already covered this, the nourishments and the cleansing, all the verses that talk about that. And then finally, the healing and restoration. I'm not just up here spouting out nice words. There's a scripture to back all this up. And like I said, you know, don't believe me just because I say something. If there's no scripture behind it, right? So you should be, the best way, you should be backing up everything you say with scripture. But when you're talking with somebody, you should front up with scripture. Say, here's what scripture says, now let's talk about it. We're taking a different approach because this is a teaching class, but normally start with scripture. Talk about scripture, end with scripture. That's how it should be. All right, let's pray. Father, we have barely touched the surface of your study here on marrowology. What an amazing truth that you give us just through our bodies, our physical bodies, teaching us so many things about what it is you would have us to know and understand of your watch care, of all the things you desire to do in and through us. So many verses just take on so much more meaning. You say, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Of course you will. Of course you will. Brother James knew this. It's just an amazing truth. And if we can get a hold of this and understand that the very marrow in our body mirrors our spiritual health, their spiritual vitality, the way that we are and that we can live through life, we'll seek it, we'll desire it, we'll want it like that cup of water in the desert, like that meal that we don't know where the next one is coming from, because you are always there. You're always present. You provide everything that we need. We can just look to the sparrows and we can see that you are present and ready to help us become the perfect servants that you desire for your glory. I pray that we get another chance to continue studying this, but even so, if not, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We can study this in eternity as well. Well, thank you for the time you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.